May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. These are such rich scriptures that we hear today that it's almost hard to choose what angle to take with them. Do we talk about the mystical experience that Paul refers to? He refers to a third person, but of course he's talking about his own mystical experience. Do we talk about the inability that we often have to recognize when God is speaking to us in front of our faces in the way that the people in Jesus' own hometown couldn't recognize him? Do we talk about the way Jesus tells his disciples to shake the dust off their feet if they're not received? And interestingly, the Buddha said the same to his disciples when he sent them out. If you go anywhere and people don't want to hear it, just wipe the dust off your feet and move on. I mean, fascinating things to talk about. But the thing that I want to talk about today is the thorn in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh. And what that means to us in our spiritual lives. You know that a few weeks ago I was down in Virginia at this seminary on preaching, and it was such a wonderful occasion. And with this seminar, you applied to it as a group. So there were a group of six of us from the Diocese of Massachusetts who applied. My wife was the one who got us. We went to this lecture about this this possibility, and within seconds she was saying, right, I'm going to get this group together. And she got a group of us, and we all were kind of a group of friends. One guy is the rector of Church of the Redeemer in Chestnut Hill, who's a good buddy of mine because we share a love of miniature toy soldiers. Another person is the rector of St. Dunstan's in Dover. Another person who went to the same seminary in England as I did is the rector at Acton. And then the third person is the new chaplain at Tufts University. So we knew each other kind of fairly, you know, socially we knew each other, but we weren't deep friends. So what we discovered when we arrived at the seminary for this course was that they said to us, ha-ha, so you think you're here to learn lots of preaching techniques, but let us tell you something. What you're really here for, you mid-career clergy people who are in danger of burning out, what you're really here for is to reconnect with your spiritual core, to reconnect with the reasons that you felt called to be a clergy person, that passion that led you here, because this is what informs your preaching more than anything else. And one of the first things they had us do in our small groups, because there are lots of us in our small groups, was to gather together and to give these little testimonies that we've been asked to prepare around a particular passage of scripture that was fundamental to our beliefs. And we're asked to talk about that passage of scripture in terms of our own spiritual journey and our own spiritual life. And when I was reading St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians this week, that passage that he speaks about, that thorn in his flesh, made me think about the experience that we had as a group of six talking about our own spiritual lives. I mean, Paul is, I mean, he's such a big show-off, isn't he? I mean, he says, I won't boast, but he's always boasting the whole time about what a great guy he is. I mean, even as a Christian, he boasts about what a great Pharisee he was and how great he was at persecuting Christians. And he says, I won't boast about my spiritual experience. But of course, the very fact that he talks about he's been lifted to a third heaven, you know, is such a, I think, what my daughter would call a weird brag, in that, you know, he says, I won't boast about this. But of course, that's exactly what he's doing. The guy, in many ways, is absolutely insufferable. But the good news for him is that he's been given this thorn in his side, this thorn in his side. He says this thorn does not come from a good place. It comes from Satan. Satan has given him this thorn. And one of the things to think about, I mean, scholars wonder what the thorn was. It may be that the readers or the people who received the letter, they probably knew what the thorn was. That's why he didn't really need to tell them, because they probably witnessed the thorn. But scholars think it could have been some horrible skin disease. But what they think is more likely is that he was an epileptic, that he had epileptic fits. And the thing we need to remember in his context is that if you were ill and had a sickness, it wasn't just that there was something wrong with you physically, there was something wrong with you spiritually. Because illness and anything going wrong in your life was a sign of God's judgment. You know, if you were ill, the question was it your sin or the sins of your parents or your forefathers that made you sick? And so can you imagine the shame that this Pharisee, that this disciple of Jesus must have had in front of his church and his people, that he bore this thorn in his side? But he says to them, this great show-off says to them that this thorn, perhaps sent to him by Satan, was in fact a great spiritual blessing upon him, because he realizes what an insufferable show-off he is. He realizes his own arrogance, and he realizes that the thorn in his side is the thing that allows God into his soul. He recognizes his incompleteness, his failing, is the thing that means he has to throw himself onto God's grace, because he knows that as an individual, he is incomplete. So what was really beautiful about this time of testimony that the six of us had together? I mean, we knew each other socially, you know, hail fellow, well met, how are you doing, etc. But we didn't know each other deeply and in a spiritual way. And clergy are terribly competitive. And so we all went into this not knowing what the other people were going to say. But what was so beautiful about it was how utterly vulnerable people were in talking about both the strengths and the achievements and the joys in their lives that had led them to the point they were. But also, people were terribly vulnerable about the thorns in their own sides, the things that made them dependent on God. And what was so good for us as a group of clergy, who are so used to always putting our best foot forward and, you know, going to clergy conferences saying, oh, St. Andrew's is so brilliant and I'm doing such a good job, etc., was to be together, to share our vulnerability, and recognize our common dependence upon God and God's grace. I think what makes a church great, what makes a community great, is when we're able to share that kind of vulnerability with each other. I don't mean in a boring kind of way, that you know, whenever you see someone, if you've ever been to England and you ask an English person, how are you? What they'll do is they'll give you a long list of maladies. And I'm not talking about that kind of thing. But knowing that we're in a community where people bring their strengths and talents, but also bring their weaknesses, bring their willingness to share with each other. That's what a real community is about. If we can't do that, it's not worth being here. You know, if we can't be a real community where we can really be alongside each other and share our vulnerabilities, it's not worth being here. We're just another one of these false communities out there. What makes this community a place worth going to and a place worth inviting people to is a place where we're honest with each other and honest with ourselves, because it starts with our ability to to face up to our own thorns. When we live in this, I love this community. I love Wellesley. I love this church because we're so go-get'em. We're so like, give us a problem and we can solve it. And it's fabulous. But we also need to be a place where alongside that, we can be there for each other. And also to resist the temptation as a group of successful people to not be sympathetic to people who are weak, who are failures, to people whose lives are difficult, to be hard-hearted because we think we have no weaknesses ourselves. What made that experience with those six clergy so wonderful was that we were willing to both share our strengths but also our weaknesses with each other. And I think we were all in awe that we'd had that experience. And I think, to me, I left thinking, I want St. Andrew's to be a place like this. Amen.